It's in your paper. I'm in Mark 13, verse 24 to 37. The part where the world falls apart. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. He will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves comes out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. God, we thank you for your word tonight. Would you use me to speak what you have for us? Would you teach us to wait? Would our hearts be open and ears be open to hear what you have for us? In your name we pray. Amen. So most of you know me in the church, and you may or may not have heard my feelings about passages like these in the past. I grew up in like a Baptist church, and these passages are kind of thrown at us a lot in the every day you need to live your life for the rapture. The rapture could be now. Now. What about now? What about now? Every second of your life is waiting for this huge destruction that's going to come, and maybe, you know, Jesus is part of it, but really it's this big, scary thing. And the parts in Revelation I could kind of ignore as I grew up, and Daniel I could ignore, but this is like right in the middle of the gospel, and so it seemed like I had to confront it at some point in my life. And so I think this became the time. Thank you, Pastor Steve. So, the first time, yeah, it's perfect. The first time I reread this again in the kitchen next to Pastor Steve, the things that stuck out to me were sun darkening, moon without light, stars falling, heavenly bodies shaken, heaven and earth passing away. And I was just like, what does this have to do with God coming into the world? It's kind of scary. It sounds like a bunch of destruction, something I don't really want to be a part of. Hopefully I did die before it happens. What is this? And oftentimes it was preached to me that God's going to come like a thief in the night. You better be ready. Almost like Jesus was trying to trick us or scare us in the middle of the night. Like, ha-ha, got you. And it was like this creepy, hopefully you're not sinning or else the sun might fall right on your face. Like, bam, Jesus is coming to get you. And so it was a very heavy burden almost to read these passages. And I just wanted to ignore it. And maybe Jesus is going to come and find you in sin, so live perfectly. Live perfect. And it was out of fear and guilt that we lived to be holy, it seemed like. It didn't seem pure at all. And so I was scared of it and ignored this for many years. But the last 2 weeks, I've sat with this passage. And the first thing I thought of was, well, the first coming of Christ was all about peace. Bless you. And restoration. And it doesn't make sense that Jesus would have his second coming be any different. So I read the passage, taking those lens off, open to what I know about Christ, recognizing that the same Christ then is the one that's talked about here. And then different things started sticking out to me. Son of Man coming, sending his angels, gathering together. My words will never pass away. And all of a sudden, the passage kind of becomes hope. It becomes future peace. It becomes promises that we can trust and wait for expectantly. Those of us that are waiting, that is. The stars and the moon and the sun, these are all, if you're looking at the physical sense, like the most permanent things we can think of. The sun will always come up and always come down. And all of a sudden, that's going to fall from the sky because the Son of Man coming means so much more. Or if you look at it in the like theological way, I remember in New Testament, like that represents the powers that be in the kingdom. So the most powerful kingdoms in the world fall when Jesus comes because Jesus is the true king. And all of a sudden, that's exciting to think about the sun falling because the sun that it's talking about is an evil regime. The stars that are falling from the sky represent evil and dictation. And so Jesus comes to set all that free. And the passage got more and more exciting as I sat with it. And my fear kind of drifted away. And even more, it kind of felt like God was calling us to live faithfully. What I mean by that was the part where it talked about the master leaving his house and leaving his servants to work for it. It's kind of beautiful. The text tells us bluntly that being alert and waiting looks like taking care of a house while the master's gone. It doesn't look like staring at the clouds and waiting for Jesus to randomly appear and snatch us all up. It looks like us seeking out the call of God in our life and taking care of the tasks that he's put before us. We have a job. We're to work until the Savior comes. And it was beautiful. And I began to realize if we are living faithfully, then the coming of Christ becomes our hope. Not this fear that we live to be holy and so Jesus won't catch us in sin as if we can somehow disappoint Jesus and ruin everything. But the coming of Christ is the peace that lets us continue to live faithfully. The coming of Christ is the hope we have to clench onto as we live faithfully in a very broken world. And yeah, it says be alert and keep watch and maybe Jesus will come suddenly, if he comes suddenly. Well, if we're waiting for Jesus to come, is it going to be that much of a surprise to us? Yeah, it's going to be really sudden to those that didn't believe it, that rejected it. Jesus coming suddenly and turning around the whole world, or even those that thought they were waiting for Jesus and maybe Jesus looks different than they wanted, it's going to be sudden, just like it was the first time. But for us, it's not a sudden thing. The whole passage talks about the signs and the signs and the signs. And why would Jesus give us signs if he wanted to come and trick us? Jesus' second coming is a glorious thing to expect. I kind of, especially with all the pregnancy in the church, like to think of it as a woman who's going to give birth. She can feel the signs of her labor coming, but she has no clue when she's going to pop, right? She knows it's happening. God has given her this growing belly, and it's coming, but you don't know the second or the hour. But when that happens, maybe we're scared because we don't know how to be a mom. It's our first time, or it's our third. Maybe we don't know how to support. But all that aside, when that moment happens, I feel like maybe it's nothing but exhilaration. A baby's coming into the world, and that's an exciting thing because you know about it, and you've been expecting it. And yeah, you don't know the second it's coming, but it is. And so what do you women do? Everything about you has to change. As you wait for this baby, your diet changes. Your lifestyle changes. Every decision you make is now through the lens of a coming baby. And I think that's the way we're supposed to live our life in light of the second coming. We know the first coming has happened. And so really, that's the biggest sign, I think, of, well, now the second coming is all that's left amongst everything else. And so it's not something to paralyze us in fear. It's not something where we wake up and stare at the clouds every day. That seems ridiculous. Does Angela and Melissa and Kat sit at their bed all day and stare at their stomachs saying, okay, when's it going to pop? Like, it seems ridiculous. It's almost more beautiful. The fact that new life is coming makes you live your life even more full. It makes it more exciting because there's this newness coming. And even more so when God comes to restore all of us and give all of us new life. That's huge. So yeah, Kat doesn't know the exact second she's going to pop, and Angela might not know, and they gave you this roundabout date. And maybe that instance is sudden, but really, there's no surprise involved because we've been waiting for it. And not only are they planning, but we're waiting with them because that baby's going to be part of our family too. And I love it that it talks about servants working for a master. Well, that means they're probably living together. And I think it's beautiful that there's community involved, that we're not just working alone somewhere, that in this one task God has given us, that somehow we're all together. And as we work towards this in the lens of Christ's second coming, I think this means that our diet has to change. And so maybe for us, that looks like our lifestyle. When we accept the fact that Christ will come again, the way we think about things has to be different. We can't look at the world anymore hopeless. We can't keep spreading violence. We can't spread hopelessness because we have the biggest hope and peace in the world coming. And so now it's our responsibility to live in that hope that others might experience it. As if the kingdom coming is going to make everything perfect, but it's like Jesus invited us to let the kingdom come now. Work now while I'm gone to give people glimpses of the kingdom. Just a little bit more of the promise so you can keep holding on. And of course, all that faith and peace comes from each other, the fellowship believers in Christ. But it's an exciting thing. Looking back at the Corinthians passage for today that we just read, we read this morning, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. That verse side by side to this, to me, there's no way there can be fear. There's no way the life we live for Christ can be scared holy instead of faithful to be holy, if that makes sense. That's the way my life was shaped. I'm sharing you my last 2 weeks of journeying with Christ, and it's quite exciting to me because now I don't have to be scared of a lot of the Bible. But moreover, it's beautiful that Christ would give us a purpose until he comes. That we are to work, that each of us has a task at hand. We are not left without a single gift. If we're taking care of the house, some of us were called to take care of the yard. Some of us to do the dishes. Some of us to cook. Some of us to hug. Think of a family and all the jobs there are. That's us. We make each other complete until the day of the Lord coming. And so I don't think it looks like us pausing our life and staring at the sky and preaching every day, Christ is coming, Christ is coming, Christ is coming. I think the way that we keep watch is by being faithful to what God has put in front of us. Because if we're living the call of life, there's no way we can do that without the peace that Christ will come again. And if we're connected with the community of the believers, we're not going to let each other forget or fall from that. And it's a beautiful thing. So what does this mean in light of Advent? Well, I think it's all pretty obvious, but in case it isn't, as we reflect on the first coming of Christ, we can rest in the knowledge that God fulfilled every promise of that coming and will continue to fulfill the promise he gave us about the second coming. We reflect on the brokenness of the world that Rebecca talked about this morning, the fact that we need Christ's second coming. If we don't admit that first, we're not going to be waiting for it. We must recognize that we are in need of redemption. And what we do with that is to seek out what God has called us to. The way we wait for Christ to come is active. It's taking hold of what God has put in front of us and living in that. Recognizing the gifts, seeking that out, and through that, we will constantly be alert. It's not about Christ coming and finding us asleep in our bed. That'd probably be a good thing. It's about Christ coming and seeing that his servants have worked in his house while he was gone. So, how do we wait for the Lord? What are the gifts that God has put in your life that are stirring up in you this Advent season? What is it that you want to do to be an active participant in the coming of Christ? That we can bring his kingdom come today, that we don't have to wait for the day of judgment for reconciliation, for complete reconciliation, yes, but we get glimpses of that as we seek his will. And I think that is a beautiful gift. Beautiful gift. So may we remember that Christ came to bring peace, and his second coming will be no different. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. So we wait.